How Hector quit his job and is making over $17,000 a month wholesaling real estate in under a year. What is up, guys? Zach in here. Welcome to the Backstretches podcast. And I have Hector here. Hector is truly an inspirational story about how you can quit your job, start getting into wholesaling real estate. And probably the most exciting part, he's doing this all from free tools for finding wholesaling real estate deals. So guys, I'm excited to bring on Hector. Hector, thank you so much for hopping on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Zach.
Of course. So let's get this started. What is your wholesaling real estate journey? How did you get started in here?
How I got started. So basically one day I was at work. I used to manage Pizza Huts. So I was a GM of a couple Pizza Huts, had a couple dozen employees, you know, and I had a conversation with my brother-in-law at the time. Yeah, how he can make $15,000. His dad needs about $15,000 to pay off his land so he can own it, you know, outright. And then we're trying to figure out brainstorming. So we're talking about credit cards and flipping cars and, you know, we just got brainstorming. And then I started thinking, I'm like, man, how can I get it? And that what's really got me. How could I get $15,000 in one sit, one go, real quick, you know? And then out of nowhere, actually, you came up on TikTok, your shorts. So, you were just in my For You page. You just popped up, and then something just resonated with me. That was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you know, this is the quickest way, you know, to make, you know, X amount. And I was just like, okay. I hear that a lot, you know, with all the, you know, everyone's got that, but. Something said follow up on this. Something, you know, kind of drew me into it. And so that's what I did. I actually did a little side research beyond, you know, just watching you off that first go. And I was like, okay, so this is something. I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't know nothing about it. But the more I started watching your shorts, then I actually started getting plugged in to your channel. I'm like, okay. So I'm watching his shorts. Now I'm going to see what this guy's talking about. So, you know, I started just watching, man. I think within a week, I'd made up my mind. I was like, okay, this is something I want to do, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So managing Pizza Huts, right, and then kind of deciding to put that full effort into it, how did that lead to your first wholesaling deal? Were you doing a job doing it? Like, what's this process?
So how I jumped in is, I think kind of like your dad, he kind of just kind of full immersion, just both feet down. He jumped out of it. You know, I had one discussion with my wife, at the time that was my fiance, you know, and we just talked and I said, you know, I want something more for myself. I don't want to be here another 5 years, you know, grinding away, making pizzas. Dude, I made literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pizzas. You know, it's horrible. I mean, it's not, I don't know. It was just not where I wanted to be, man. Just sitting at my desk, you know, running my P&Ls, doing all my payroll, doing all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I can't do this for another year. I can't, especially when the whole pandemic happened, you know, nobody wanted to work. And I was working, oh man, like 100 plus. I think I hit like 180 hours one week, dude. Oh. Something crazy. Something so crazy. I mean, I was waking up, going to work, waking up, going to work. And I'd be there all day, 16-hour days. And so I had that one conversation with my wife. I think I was like, I'm going to hang it up. I think I'm done with this. I'm going to try this. Do you, you know, how do you feel about this, you know? And she was like, well, I trust you, you know, you make the decision. And I was like, okay. So one Friday night, I just talked to my crew and I was, hey, this is going to be the last time you talk to me. You know, I put in all my pay raises for everybody. I left on a good note with them, you know, put all my pay raises in, you know, let them know. If they stick around, you know, at least they'll have a pay raise. And I hung up my keys one night and I just jumped in. I walked away from it and I just jumped in. And I told my wife, if I don't come up with anything in 6 months, I'll get a job. Yeah. You know, we had enough money to do this with. Where the bills would be okay for a little while. Everything would be okay if I just stepped away right now, you know, with one more check coming in. And so, yeah, that's what I did. And I grinded hard. And actually, within the first 2 weeks, I got my first deal. Boom, right out the rip. Just boom.
Let's talk about that deal real quick. Let's talk about that first deal, right? It's, I know it seems like, oh, it just happened, right? Boom, quick. But 2 weeks, your first deal, right? So what did you do? Okay, you quit your job Friday, so it's Monday. What are you doing? Like, how are you getting that first deal?
It was actually crazy. I'm driving around town. You know, I'm driving for dollars in my town.
And so what town are you in?
I live in Higginsville, Missouri.
Got it.
I live in the sticks, you know, in the old country out here. I live about 45 minutes away from Kansas City.
Got it.
Okay. So I just wanted to see what's going on. So I drove around town, and actually my battery somehow became unplugged in my truck, and I pull off to the side of the road, and I'm working on it. And here comes an acquaintance of mine, his mom. Oh, hey, Hector, how you doing? You know, da, da, da. And I'm like, oh, hey, you know, hey, Kara, what's going on? You know, she's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, it's, I don't know, something from my battery, I'm fixing it. And then we got to just talking, and she was like, well, you know, my son is thinking about selling his house. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I'm actually in the business of buying houses right now.
Wow.
And yeah, it just that conversation, that does that one conversation kind of opened the doorway to a better thing. So I spoke with her, and we actually got all sitting down, and I was able to reach out to the son, and we got to talking, and I put the home under contract. Yeah, like I said, within that same week after speaking with her. So within that first week and a half, you know. Yeah, which is really crazy. I mean, it was just a conversation, and that's what led to that, you know, which was nice.
So how much did you put that one under contract for?
$10. Oh, no. That was my deposit. That's my deposit.
Yeah, okay.
I actually put that under contract for $68,000. The issue was they owed 40, I think it was 47, 48,000 on it.
Okay.
And they needed obviously to pay off that loan before they could actually, you know, do anything with the house. So that was that deal. I put it 60 days out, and I was hyper focused on it. I mean, slamming my phone, slamming my keys to the email, Facebook groups. I'm banging this out everywhere I go. Came back, you know, all the numbers came back, you know, oh, this, that, and the third, that I needed a little bit lower. So I went back a little bit lower. We renegotiated the price, I think, down to like 57, so he could still make some plus pay off the loan. I think I was only going to make – I think I was selling up like 59. Okay. And I found a hedge fund buyer, actually, who went and picked up the deal on Labor Day. So it was that Labor Day weekend. He went ahead and picked up the deal, and I thought everything was great. Dude, I thought everything was perfect. Took my wife out. We went camping, you know, hit the lake, you know, whatever. And I'm banking on that, hey, that I'm going to, you know, get this deal done. I come back that Monday, talked to David, which is the hedge fund guy, and he's like, hey, I'm going to send an inspector out. You know, we're going to wrap this up, you know, Wednesday. I'm like, perfect. That sounds great, you know. I talked to David. David's also the inspector. So David, you know, another David comes out, and we get to talking, and he's liking it so far. Things, you know, it needs work, obviously, you know, and this. He's going, doing his routine. We get down to the basement. The basement foundation had just been redone. They put some beams up, you know, some support beams out, and to hold the wall and everything else. And then out of nowhere, he gives his report. He found a structural problem that could have been upwards of like $40,000 or something like that. And he pointed out to me, he walked me through the, you know, this is what you need to look out for. And, you know, so that deal went right down the tank, right down the tank. Yeah.
Structural is like a killer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was a killer. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, I was a little defeated. Actually, I'm not going to lie, because I was like, man, you know, I finally did it. I'm like, proof of concept. This works, you know. So I was learning from that day on, you know.
And so did that deal just – what happened to that deal?
So, well, the hedge fund guys, you know, came back, hey, this is going to be a no-go since my inspector, you know, gave me this, you know, gave me this information. I was like, okay, you know. Because I think that would have put him over with the repairs, you know, purchase price plus that repair would have put him over, I think, more than the ARV of the home.
Yeah.
So, and especially like I said, in this area, you know, it's, you gotta be under, definitely under, you know, especially with the repairs. So that actually tanked. And I think I took like, 2 weeks, like, man, like, what did I just do? Like, oh no, you know, like, oh no, what did I just do? Like, I left my $60,000 a year job to like do this, and now, like, oh man, you know. So, I was feeling defeated for a while, but something I kept watching your videos during the whole time. I think, yeah, this is my very first notebook that, you know, that I went through. And this actually, there's some EMD right there. But this is like my very first notebook. And it's just page to page to page to page to page to page. It's front, back, everything that within that first, you know, 6 months that I learned, you know, everything. And I always go back to it, always go back to it. And so I kept doing that, even though I didn't really push out any houses that first month or so. I kept learning and kept like, okay, what do I have to do? Try to formulate that strat. You know, 6 months went by. I would pick up deals, lock them up way too high.
Yeah.
Lock them up way too high. That was my problem, locking them up just entirely too much. And then we'd have that uncomfortable conversation back with the seller, you know, hey, you know,
yeah.
I need to do a price cut, you know, or, you know, so that was kind of what I was doing. I was just I would watch your videos and then I'd go out that same day and apply it. I'd watch it, go apply it, watch it, go apply it. And I would just see what happens. And like I said, I think I ended up getting like two or three more under contract. That just didn't pan out. Like I said, we locked up way too high. I go back to my guys, my cash buyers at the time, and it would just, you know, I even actually lost cash buyers because of that. Yeah. I just kept doing, you know, bad deals. And that was my issue.
What was the change? What made you start doing deals? Like that first assignment, like what was the change? 6 months is a long time.
6 months is a long time. 6 months is a long time. Actually, I didn't get my first deal till actually 10 months in.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't get my deal till 10 months in. So 6 months, I went and got a job, you know, and at the interview when I told them, I was like, hey, I do wholesale, you know, I'm in wholesale real estate. I do that full time and I need this to be my kind of part time. I just need to be bringing some money in, you know? And I told him that I will be, you know, on the phone doing this. I'll be on my computer doing this. If that's okay with you, then I'm here, you know, and I'll be here. And it actually ended up working at a hotel. And then I was housekeeping. I just took any job that wasn't fast food, any job that, you know, stayed out, that gave me kind of that time plus work, you know.
Yeah.
So I took a housekeeping job. They seen that I was good at housekeeping, but they seen that I was really good at talking. I could talk. You know, they noticed right away, hey, this guy is not where he used to be. So they put me at the front desk. And that is actually what gave me the freedom while I'm working to continue to do my thing, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So it worked out, you know, of getting a check in, you know, plus I was actively still doing what I wanted to do. I had been working with code enforcement in a town up the road from me, Warrensburg, Missouri. It's a college town. I took your advice, you know, started, you know, talking to code enforcement people up there and actually started building relationships with them. Messaging them, you know, on email, obviously, and calling them sometimes when I was in town, you know, hey, you know, you got anything you're working on right now that, you know, I can help you out with and anything like that. So, actually she started sending me Jane over there, Jane Haven started sending me, leads with phone numbers attached to them so I could contact the property owners.
So the code enforcement lady had the phone numbers with it.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yeah. That's so she would, yeah, she would actually give me the leads with the code enforcement. I mean, with the phone numbers attached to it in the property owner's name. Wow. So I would get the address, name, and number, and I would go out there and I talk to them and,
That's just a gift.
Yeah. I got blessed. I got blessed with that. I got blessed with that. And a guy who, he lost his house. He was at work one night and, his house caught on fire while he was at work. And just so happened previous, you know, around before the 6 month mark, I was in that same area, you know, looking at that. That's when his house caught on fire. Well, here we go, 10 months out. Code enforcement is down his back. Hey, we are going to put a lien against this property. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get smoked in court and you got to do something about this. You got to either, you know, board it up. You got to do something, you know. So he reached out to me through a text and I met him at the property. We did a walk around. And yeah, so I actually offered him $2,500 for the property because it was huge. It was two lots. It was two lots and it had a detached garage that could be converted on the back end. So it was a huge garage. It was, obviously he loved it. He's like, okay, yeah. Plus I'll get code enforcement off your back. I'll handle code enforcement and all those things, you know, went into it. You know, I'll help you board up the house if need be, you know, in my special conditions part. I told him I'd go to any court dates that he needed, you know, to let the judge know, to let everybody know, hey, I'm going to be the one purchasing this property. I'm helping him with it. He's actively doing something. That way we took that stress away from him.
That's great.
You know, we solved that problem, you know? So, and that kind of something clicked with me. He was super motivated when I couldn't sell the property. I figured this out. I couldn't sell the property at $2,500. A cash buyer reached out to me, a week or two before we actually supposed to close. And he said, hey, if you can get this thing for a dollar, I'll go ahead and buy it. So I went right back to the seller, got it for a dollar because he was so motivated to sell that, you know, he was like, look, I just want this problem out of my hands. I don't care. I'm like, okay. So we picked it up for $1 and, we went to court with them and handled it that day, did a quick claim deed, boom, and just handled it that day with the paperwork notarized at the bank. And he had no court case, no code violations, no nothing. And he gave me $1,000 on that deal.
The buyer.
The buyer gave me a $1,000 deal. Yeah. So I made my $1,000. Okay. But what I went ahead and did is I took $500 of that and I went back to the seller and I said, hey man, you know, I know that it was kind of a bad turnout, but here I met him at work and I just hand him an envelope full of ones and 20s, you know? Ones and 20s, you know, and it was just something. I just wanted to see him happy about it. Yeah. You know, and you know, I understand you just lost your house, you know, everything, you know, and now you got to sell it for a dollar. you know, but the tax lien was about $15,000. So, you know, or well, now it wouldn't tax lien, it would have been a code enforcement lien. So, you know, they would have smoked him there. And then he was going to court cases. So I took him out of court and I provided a great value for him, you know, and then I, you know, out of goodness, it went back and dumped him off a little bit of money, you know,
something.
So that was my first deal. It was a fire damaged property that that I actually got through code enforcement. And then, yeah, I met with the seller and just did it. Yeah. And that took me 10 months.
How did it feel, though, to finally get that closed?
I wasn't satisfied.
Really?
It wasn't like, yeah, you did it. It wasn't that. It was more of a proof of concept.
Mm.
You know, like, okay, this actually works. Like this, I closed it. Like, yeah, I felt the altitude go up, you know, okay, you did it. You know this works, but it was that something clicked. I mean, something clicked when it motivated sell or sell. I don't know why. I don't know how many times you reiterated. I don't know how many months I had to hear it, but I hadn't run into a motivated seller until then who had to sell, who needed to sell, who would just take a dollar for the property, you know? So I was like, motivated seller sell. Okay. And then it clicked, boom, something just snapped. Something did it, boom. The next month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that, I was having another conversation with someone at their property and just checking in on them. And they're like, hey, I'm thinking about selling my house. You know, it needs a lot of work, but I don't know, you know, where to go, what to do. I'm like, well, actually, I can help you out with that. You know, what are you thinking? And just kind of rolled off there. What are you thinking? You know, what do you want? You know, how fast are you trying to move? You know, why are you moving? You know, her mom had a house in probate in Connecticut that just cleared out. So she had another place to go. She wanted to go back to Connecticut and she was just done living here. So locked that property up and ARV was actually about 300, 315. We locked it up for 150. Got it for 150, and it needed a good amount of work. It had 3.3 acres though, which was huge. That was a huge plus to it.
Oh yeah,
had a lot of eyes on that one, and actually sold fairly quickly. That actually sold really quickly.
How much did it sell for?
So we sold it for the 150, but I was only able to get 155 out of it with a buyer that I had.
Okay, how do you find that buyer?
So I found that buyer through a friend in construction.
Wow.
If I reached out to people, I post on my TikToks, hey, I have another deal. You know, if anybody knows anyone that's looking for a home, reach out to me and, you know, this, then, you know, that get with me. And I always tell them I'll kick them back something, which I usually do. I always kick them back, you know, a little bit, you know, from finder's fee. So this guy just calls me out the blue. Hey, you know, how you doing? My name's Ashley. And, you know, I'm looking to buy a property that you have. And I was like, okay. Well, we got to talking and he came out and he's like, okay, yeah. He was like, 150. I was like, 150. He's like, all right. He's like, what's your ask? You know, what's your ask? I was like, well, I'd like to get 170 out of it. You know, I shot high, you know, with a 315 ARV. I'm going to get up there. And he was like, okay, well, we started looking at work. It didn't need any foundational issues. It just had a lot of work to be done. Work, you know. So we agreed on 155 somehow, some way he got me. But it worked out. It worked out. And just got that one off, you know, within the next 3-4 weeks.
Beautiful.
5 weeks after that first deal.
Okay. And then on that first deal, how did you find that buyer?
Facebook.
Okay, perfect.
Facebook, cool. I blasted that. And then somebody just kind of pitched it off. Hey, you know,
yeah.
he's got this. And then someone just rang me up. Hey, heard you got something out in Warrensburg. And then we got to talking about, you know, what I do and, you know, what my areas are. So he came out and saw it, and he actually only bought it because of the garage. And that's, yeah.
So random guy thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so you got deal one, deal two kind of comes a little quicker. It's probably feeling a little better.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of plugging away now on that second deal though. How do you define that seller? What was the marketing channel and list?
So that's like I said, that seller was actually an acquaintance.
Wow. Another one.
Yeah. She was a friend of my wife's mother. And like I said, that we were just stopping in just to check on him. Hey, how you doing? Type of situation.
Okay, that's what you meant. All right.
Yeah, just to check on and see, you know, hey, how you doing? Because some of her mom's stuff was there, so I think we were picking up some, you know, miscellaneous stuff. And yeah, and then that's just how that conversation went, you know. It just kind of rolled out like that, and that's a blessing. That was a blessing. I've been knowing that, like, going back to people who everyone knows somebody who wants to sell their house.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of finding that just having these small little conversations with people that I do know, and it's kind of working out. Oh, hey, yeah, I've heard, you know, Aunt Peggy wants to sell. Oh, yeah, let's go talk to Aunt Peggy, see what she's talking about, you know. So that was a family friend that did that. Yeah.
And so you keep going. We got more deals. You got some more deals going. So
yeah.
What happened to that third deal then?
So the third the third deal was actually some friends from high school who had seen me posting about my previous done deals. I had been posting on Facebook, hey, this is what I'm doing. If anybody wants to know more, I always, anybody who I get who wants to know more, I bring them in and I tell them the first thing they got to do is jump on your page. They got to sign up for their master course. They got to. And once they're done with that, if they're still in it, they can come talk to me and I'll work with them.
I like it.
They have to, because I don't know anything from what you teach me. I have my own experiences now, obviously, you know, but from whatever you taught me, yeah, I can't deviate from that.
No,
you know?
Okay.
So yeah, I always bring them to you guys. And if they make it through the first master course deal, and I have them call me after they get a section done, call me. And then I go through my old notebook. Hey, what's this? How do we find that? How do we get this done? And if they can't answer it, they didn't watch the video. They didn't take the time. So, you know.
I do with everyone. Okay. And so you're teaching them. And so how does that lead to the deal?
So they heard that I've been doing this home stuff. And I was doing the wholesale real estate. And they were kind of in a bad situation too, where they had a home that had a loan on it, but they moved out of it, put a tenant in there. The tenant wasn't paying, and they wanted to know if I could help them out with that, like either by getting the tenant out or by selling the house so the tenant has to leave, you know, something. So we were spitballing, and the house got fully remodeled at some point within the year. So it looked really good. Didn't need any work. You know, about $5,000-$6,000 worth of work. You know, little touch ups here and there, nothing too major.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just kind of went from there. And I brought it to another buyer of mine that I met. And yeah, he. I just sent him pictures. He said, "Does the house still look like that?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I'm taking pictures today from right now." He's like, "Yeah, we want that." And so I told him, explained that they had owed $80,000 on it. And, you know, they were looking for $90,000. You know, okay, we got talking. All right, well, they ended up doing a seller finance where they would pay him out. No, they actually did a subject two on it. Excuse me. Yeah, they actually did a subject two on it. They went ahead and assumed the loan and paid them out the 10,000, I think it was for them, and actually kept the tenant in there, reduced the rent so they could continue getting the payments in at least, while they found her a new place to move to. And yeah, and I got that one off too. And that was,
what did you make on that one?
So I made 3,000 on that one.
It's not bad off of creative finance. You can wholesale creative finance deals. Hope people understand that. Like, they can make you cash. And so basically three deals from referrals. That's insane. I was talking to Luca a couple of weeks back, if you see on the podcast, he was getting a ton of just deals from referrals. And it's like we do deals off of referrals, but like, it's insane. Like the amount you're doing off them. So that fourth deal, you know, so you've done kind of basically five up to this point, right? So the fourth deal here, what happened to that one? We're starting to roll in the deals.
So, okay, this is actually one of my more prouder deals. It was actually really cool. I had earlier within that year, I'm at the hotel and I see this Facebook marketplace lead. And, you know, for sale by owner on Facebook Marketplace. So I reached out to him. We get the numbers going. We start talking on the phone. And I'm calling and I'm talking to her. And I could see the house needs a lot of work. I saw the house needed a lot of work. And I made my offer. I think it was like 68,000, I think. I think it was like 60. It was less, definitely less than 70,000. Yeah. ARV was in the twos. So it kind of worked. But she was dead set that she knew she could get $100,000. You know, I know I can get $100,000 for my house. I'm like, okay, you know, well, it's your house. You know, you can get what you can, you know. So, you know, we just kind of ended it on that. Well, 8 months later, not even probably 6 months later, after speaking with her, I find the same house on Facebook Marketplace, contract for sale. But now it's under contract with somebody. Okay. So I'm like, man, I know this house. I'm like, let me call this guy and see what he's got in a contract for. So I reached out to him, and he's like, yeah, you know, he's selling it for $100,000 too. I'm like, dude, I'm like, look, man, I know this house. It's too much. No one's going to buy it. No one in their right mind is going to buy this house right now at that price. He let me know that he had it at like 49,000, I think. Yeah. So – you know, and I'm like, dude, I offered her, and I still have the text messages. Was when I texted her at closing, I looked through the text message. I'm like, oh my God, I know she's beating herself up. Like, I know you're beating yourself up over that one.
That's why you gotta follow up with sellers. I know it seems crazy, but you just got to follow up.
Yeah.
Because the person that calls her the day she decides to sell, it might have been 5 months down the line. You would have gotten it, but you just didn't follow up. Not a bad thing, but it's just a lesson for everyone, right?
Right.
So how you ended up getting that. So what happened here?
Okay. So I called the guy. I called the guy who has it under contract, and we talk. And he's like, look, man, I've been pushing this and pushing this and nobody wants it. I'm like, yeah, I know nobody wants it. You're way too high on it. I'm like, look, let me make one call. I'm going to call a guy who buys in the area because this is my area, you know? So I'm going to make a call. Guy buys in the area, and we'll see what he says. So I make that one call. I made one phone call. He's like, I'm actually down in Lexington right now. I'm like, shoot, here's the address. Like, all right. Swings by the house, does like a small walkthrough. And he's like, all right, I'll let you know tonight. I'm like, okay. Within that same, you know, 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours, boom. Hey, these are the numbers I got. Where can I be at? He was asking to be under 50, but he could have been at 52 or so. I'm like, look, go down. I need you to go ahead and go back to the seller. Say we can get this thing closed, renegotiate the price. He renegotiated for, I think, 42. And we dumped it off for 49.
Okay.
So he wanted to be under 50. We still needed to make a little bit. So, you know, we cleared $7,000 on that one. And I actually, you know, I told the guy, I'm like, look, man, I don't want to do a 50-50. Here's 4K for you. This is your, you know, this is your deal. You brought it to the table. All I did was bring the buyer. So I took $3,000 on that one too. And it was one call to the wholesaler who had it on contract and one call to to my buyer, and we got that deal done within within 3 weeks.
Hey, you know what? It could have been a deal you could have done, but honestly, you saved it. You found the marketplace. You got it. And I mean, this is a quick story. Like, you could just reach out to other wholesalers who have deals and do deals with them, right? That's $3,000 from you just being proactive. That's amazing. And right. You provide the buyer. That's great. And so deal four, right? All right. We're getting into it. At this point, is your wife like, okay, Hector's not like crazy. You know, you're starting to do some deals. And then, all right. So she's been a little more supportive. And then deal five. What was that one like?
So what was deal five? Let me see.
Too many to count.
Well, no, I got these. It was another subject to deal we did out in Warrensburg where the guy thought he could wrap it, take all the payments from the front end that they owed and put it on the back end and then just continue the monthly payments. And we just – and she – it was actually a divorce list. So I've been reaching out. I've started racking my brain. Who wants to get – How can I get another deal like from a divorce? You know, usually in a divorce, somebody wants to hurt another person. You know, that's usually how it goes. So how can I do them? I'll sell the house cheap. I'll, you know, forget about them. You know, I'll do this, you know. And I started doing that. And it just so happened that I ran into somebody who was going through a divorce, a separation, and they needed to get out from under it. They couldn't afford the payments anymore. And, yeah, we just went ahead and had that conversation, and I brought it to another guy, did a subject two on it, and we cashed out on that one too. They actually tried to do a novation before that, which was, yeah.
A little messy.
So, yeah.
So are you the one having the conversation with the seller about the subject two, or is the buyer doing that?
So I do the initial conversation about the subject two.
What's that conversation like?
I explained to them, you know, what I can do for them. I can, you know, I'm an investor who works with different partners in the area, and we can either buy this outright cash or, you know, or we can explore different options. And so I don't do anything with the contract just yet. You know, while we're obviously having that kind of conversation, I see how much they owe, if they're owing payments on it, if they own it, you know, I get all that information.
I'm a seller and I'm doing like, what are you saying though? Like we can take your mortgage. Like what's your
score? So, hey, Mr. Seller. We could go ahead and possibly take over the payments on that and cut you a difference from what you owe. So how much are you looking to get out of the property right now? And then we would, okay, hey, I think I want 30,000, you know? Okay. So you want 30,000 plus taking over the payments. Well, I don't think I can do that, but what I can do is I can go ahead and take these payments over and get you, you know, X amount. There's X amount of money. And does that sound fair to you? And I go ahead and take care of all the closing fees and we get the paperwork done and get this headache from underneath you. And that's the basic conversation.
Yeah.
I just find out what they want. Yeah. I just find out what they want and, you know, and then I go take it to my buyer. Hey, this is where they're willing to be at. Does that work for you? And then I just connect, and then I connect the two where he can explain it in a better way than I can.
Yeah,
you know.
So I like the way you did that, though. It's you know, you're not acting like you're the super big expert. You keep it simple with the seller, and it works out. And so the one other really interesting part here is like you did those five deals. You totaled up a good amount, right? But you have two deals closing like next month that are gonna like be more than you've ever made in wholesaling just off two deals.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny because you're kind of going from just like, you know, you're doing well, you're just like, it's gradually going up. And so you have two deals that, you know, I mean, they're not like $80,000 deals, but like, it's like 17 grand in a month going from making like a lot less in the previous. So like, how are you getting kind of these bigger deals now coming in?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting more confident. I am more confident now than when I was when I very first started. I'm not just going after only, you know, the stress properties. Now I'm kind of looking for little nicer homes. I'm going over to nicer homes. I'm because I've made it a mission to put every real estate agent out in this town next door, dude. I'm telling you, me and them are on, we are on war terms right now. Oh, it's boy. Crazy. I can't even explain to you what they're doing. But anyway, I'm actually going to nicer homes and I'm just having those same conversations. I'm door knocking, you know, obviously I'm going after my distressed properties, but I'm door knocking more and more. More and more and more. If it has a single like vine growing down the side of the house, I'm door knocking it. I'm going right up to it, you know. And yeah, that's what's getting me a lot of good stuff. And my pitch has been a little better. You know, I'm going in lower, much lower than I used to be. Yeah, we're doing the LAO.
I see you're getting more confident lowballing, right?
Yeah, I'm getting more confident lowballing. Yes, actually, yeah. At first, it was like, oh, dude, you know, that's kind of screwed up, man. But now it's like, no, dude, like, this is what it is. Like, I got to eat. I got to get out here. I got to do my job, you know. If I can't get this at a lower price than what it needs to be, my buyers won't get it at the price they want it to be, and nobody wins. He doesn't sell, he doesn't buy, and I don't make money. And that's just what it is, you know. And I always leave money on the table. Every deal, I'm always leaving money on the table. And I know that sounds bad, but I want to work with my buyers over and over and over again. I'm not just trying to whack them for $10,000, $15,000 every single deal. I want them to come back and be like, okay, he treated me right this time. You know, let's see what he's got going on now. And they have been. And they've been coming back over and over and over again because they know I'm not going to do them wrong. I'm not going to hyperinflate the number. You know, it's good business. We're doing good business. Yeah.
You don't want to be the boy that cried wolf on the bad deal because, Hector, give me a deal. Even if you send five bad deals and there's one deal that's amazing,
yeah,
the buyer's going to be like, Hector always gives me the bad deals. And then, like you said, you ruin the buyer. That's why it's so important that the buyer needs to make money too. They're, you know, I hate to say this, but it's like a Pizza Hut, right? If I go to Pizza Hut and I get four bad pizzas in a row, I'm never going back. I don't care. You might have changed the recipe. I ain't going back. I had a bad experience, right?
Right.
A good experience or heck, even a decent experience, I'm just going to keep coming back, right? Same exact method, except we're making tens of thousands of dollars, you know, per deal doing this. And that's why I think it's really important for you. And I think that's one thing people got to understand. It's like, I used to tell the realtors when we ran the real estate agency, right? But like to have a seller say, yes, I want you to list my house on $1 million house and a seller say yes on $100,000 house is pretty much the same work. For you to get a deal accepted at 400K for 70% versus of 100K, it's the same amount of work making 50K on a deal and making 5K on a deal. Same process, same buyer, same assignment. You're just making more money doing it. And so if you lowball more, it's you're even saying, you're just saying a different number. You're not even doing extra steps. That's it. And you make more money, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the thing that's going to bring you from making, you know, 17K in a month to like 20, 30, 40. Like it's just bigger deals, right? And so I know everyone wants to go to the properties that are only worth 100K, but like, you know, in Kansas City, I know people in Kansas City making 30K a month because they're going after the $300,000 houses, right?
Right.
It's just a difference and bigger population, right? It's a little hard to get deals, but you're good at talking to sellers and you're good at doing it, right? And so I think it's really inspirational, right? Because like even on that one deal, right? That sixth deal that's going to close, right? That's like you're making more on that one deal than you did your entire previous.
Yeah.
And then you did an extra 5,000. So like, was that that deal, the sixth deal that's going to close next week too, next month, how did you find that one?
So I started getting a little more creative with my marketing. So like I said, this is all free. Everything I do is free beyond drive for dollar gas, you know, whatever. So I started getting creative. How can I put myself out there in front of everybody? Mm-hmm. And so I started watching your digital bandit sign videos and stuff like that. And that kind of got more things rolling.
Yeah.
So I started making videos. So I started making 30-second videos and attaching like a picture of a sold property I have on there. And I run it on my TikToks, obviously. But I also put it on the Facebook Marketplace. And then I run an ad with it that's absolutely free. Like I'm selling the property But what it is a video explaining what I'm actually doing with a description, my phone number, and everything else. And then I just renew that ad over and over and over again. And I'm getting 300-400 clicks a week on that alone. So this deal came from one of those. Hey, you know, I'm looking to sell my house. How can you help me? You know, we cover the closing costs, the title insurance. We do the fees. We do the prorated taxes. We do the home policy. You know, we do all that. And that's a huge selling point for people, because if I'm able to explain that with a realtor, you're going to get this high, super inflated number. But that's not going to be the number that you're going to get after you pay all this stuff plus them. You're not going to get that number, you know? So we go straight to it and, you know, this, that, and the third, you know? So he reached out to me on that deal. And and we just got to talking. The home's actually worth like 115. I got it at 36. It needs another 30. So yeah, that's
a good assignment fee.
That's a good assignment fee. Yeah.
TikTok's cool because it's a location-based app. So when you post in Kansas City, it's going to bring it to Kansas City people first. And you got the hashtags, things like that. So digital bandit signs, it's another way.
Yeah.
Kind of what I did, you got creative with it. Yep. And then that other deal that's going to be like 5, 6 maybe potentially. Getting the buyer for it, you'll do. How did you find that deal?
Actually, door knocking. Drive for dollars and door knocking. Yeah. I have a schedule set up. I door knock 3 times a week, drive for dollars 3 times a week, you know, door knock. So if I see one, just like you said, if there's one property, if you just take a second and look around, there's going to be 2, 3, 4 different properties, you know, and that's the case every single time. So I will park my car after I drive for dollars. I'll hit a block or two, sticky notes. I'll do a reverse sticky note, everything I can. And then I'll park my car and then I'll just take a walk. And anything I see, dude, I'm going up there. I used to sell Kirby's for a living too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm no stranger to door knocking and talking myself into the house immediately. Yeah, that's what I was trained to do. So I played to that strong suit, you know.
So when you door knock,
yeah,
what's your script? What are you doing? You knock on the door, knock, 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 a little ugly. What do you do?
Hey, Mr. Sheller, how are we doing today? You know, my name's Hector. I'm actually in the neighborhood working on getting a few more investment properties. I actually just picked one over there up off of 300 West Market. And I'm looking at this area. It looks a lot nicer. So I'm actually knocking on your door today to see if we ever had a conversation about selling. Or I try to get them, hey, have you ever thought about selling? And usually it's within the year I'm thinking about selling. Or yeah or no. You know, either I'll get that within the year or yes or no. That's what I'll get. You know, and that's basically it.
It's simple, right? And then just have a conversation from there.
Yeah. It's just that.
Wow.
It's not inflated. You know, I'm an investor looking for to invest in the neighborhood. It's not anywhere that I'm just like making this stuff up. I am an investor looking to invest in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm at your door now, and that's what I'm doing.
Hey, I mean, you're not lying. You're doing it. It works, right?
Yep.
So let's kind of break down for like any beginner. You seem like you're good at talking to sellers, and you have definitely have a – it's from the same school, but it's like a different approach. And that's why I like having different people on the podcast like that. Like just a different way you're wholesaling. I like it, right? When you have a conversation with a seller, and we got to bring it back to a newbie, right? And they want to know what's your process when someone says, I want to sell my house? Like how do you have a conversation? Do you go straight into motivation? Do you have another script? Like, what is your style of doing it? And then kind of walk me through that process until you get the offer out.
So if someone comes to me, let's just say we're having a conversation and, you know, hey, I always bring it up, you know, when I get that chance to say, what have you been up to, Hector? How you been? You know, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm actually in real estate now. I'm buying houses and selling them. They're like, oh, like a fix and flip. No, not kind of like a fix and flip, but I work with different people and, you know, they buy all cash. And I kind of make sure to put that out there in every conversation. As soon as it goes to the volley to me, I go ahead and highlight that one thing, because if I can put that one thing in there, okay, that might spark something else with them. Oh, I was thinking about selling. Or, oh, you know. And so I put that in there. So in every conversation. And I don't, like, go on and go on about it. Like, oh, I'm just, you know. But, you know, I put it out there, you know. So, and then we just get to talking. So if I'm on the phone, I'm always going to. So why are we selling? You know, what's going on? What's going on with this property? Why are we selling? Oh, we're just, you know, we want something else. Or, you know, whatever excuse they have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I bring up, and I always follow up whatever excuse they have. I want to bring that back up at some point. And then I ask him, you know, how quick we're looking to get out of there. And then we just, you know, I never say how. I try to stay away from saying house, home. You know, I want to make sure they know it's just a property, because everyone's super sentimental about it. Everyone's got an emotional attachment. And I've learned that. And I've learned that everyone does have, even to me. And, you know, I only rent, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, so everyone has an emotional attachment to a house or a home, but a property. Eh, not so much.
Sure,
yeah. I like it. So we talk, and then once I get the motivation and kind of time frame down, then I've learned to ask, so what are we looking to get out of it? You know, what are we looking to get out of this? And then they throw some magical number because their realtor friend, you know, just told them that it's worth, you know, 10x for what it is, you know. And okay, well, I just kind of put it in their ear, you know, I could probably make a cash offer on this home. Is there any way I can get pictures on this? Or if I'm actually at the property, and you care if I go ahead and just do a walk around real quick. And I have them take me. If I'm at the property, I have the sellers take me to the trouble areas. Mm. I make them, you know, take me there. If I'm doing a walk around, now I'm moving couches. Now I'm moving, you know, cabinets because of that last little hiccup where there's foundational cracking up the wall that was hidden behind couches and beds.
That's what sellers do.
Yeah. And paint. Yeah. So, but yeah, now I'm, you know, it just depends either if I'm at the property or on the phone, but it's kind of the same thing. I get that motivation. I get their time frame. And then I just bring them the cash offer. I don't ever offer on the first talk, on the first touch, you know. We don't offer. I don't, at least. But by the second time we're talking, I have put an offer in. And then I just see where they're going with it, because I've got their motivation time frame. And then they'll give me the condition either by pictures or if I walk the property. And then I shoot them that price. You know, hey, this is what I'm willing to be at. Plus, I'll go ahead and take care of all the closing costs, prorated taxes, and fees.
Beautiful. Hey, yeah. You get the deal done, right? And then how do you have that conversation about the walkthrough once you get the deal locked up?
Oh, so
is it a partner? Out here. How do you do it?
Well, out here, it's me and my wife are running a business from home. You know, we're a small startup business kind of. So you don't want to be too much out here. You don't want to be too much of an investor. You don't want to be too much of a, you know, ivory desk type of guy. You know, we still wear our boots out here type deal, you know.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what I'm saying? You gotta work with your demographic. So I just, you know, with a walkthrough, hey, I'm going to have my partner come through. We are going to meet you at the property. I'm always there. If my partner's coming there, I'm going to try to be there. That way they have a comfortable face. They don't have just somebody, you know, that they don't know. I go 3-4 hours out the way. I don't care. I don't care. I don't do it on every walkthrough, obviously. Yeah. But I go out there and you know, especially if the property's vacant, I won't be there. You know, I'll let them do their thing. But if it's occupied or just recently renovated, I will be at the property with them, because usually the seller wouldn't be at the property with them. You know.
Yeah.
I always tell my buyers, just kind of high and buy them. Hey, you know, my name is, you know, Mitchell. whatever. All right. Hey, this is Mitch. We're going to do a walkthrough and then we're going to get out of your hair, you know, and that's it. And that's it. Yeah.
And then do you tell the buyer, like, don't talk to the seller? Or
that's what I'm getting to. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're just going to do a high and buy, you know, hey, please don't talk to the seller, you know, and I let them know, you know, I set that boundary, you know, definitely. You taught me that. Set that boundary because they will snake you in a heartbeat. And don't think they're above it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like talking to little kids. If you do not tell them not to touch the hot stove, they will touch it and burn their fingers. They'll do it. You got to let them know. Hey, that's a great one. High and by. And so you get it done there, get the assignment, and you're chugging along your journey. I love to see it. You know, that one reason I want to put you on is it's really cool seeing someone go from not getting their first deal, struggling for 10 months, to getting some traction and kind of the point where you're at now. And I kind of want to be like, all right, here we're at now, hitting some cool, awesome milestones. And I want to come back on next year for you. We're going to even see what happens there. And it's going to be so cool for people to follow along your journey on the channel here. So that I think it's really inspiring. And of course, people, if you want to help you out on your journey, right? You got plenty of buyers, right? And if you have a wholesaling deal, Hector Guzman on Facebook, what's your TikTok?
It's going to be HG2 Raw.
Okay.
So yeah, just hit me up on TikTok. Message me, whatever. If you think you have a good deal in Missouri, I have quality buyers. I have instant decision maker buyers, and that's the difference between my buyers I used to have and now. It's the ones that get back in the same day. They don't take 2-3 days to get back and run the numbers. They don't do all that. Hey, if I get up to them in the morning, they're going to get me in the afternoon. If I get through the afternoon, they're going to get me in the night. And that's, you know, that's it. You know, that's, yeah, I have good buyers these days, which is actually crazy. That I don't know how much I can explain. That's had boosted everything. Having a good instant decision making buyer. Yeah. That will change it.
And so where are you finding most of them? Facebook?
Yeah, a lot of Facebook, and a lot of groups. I do my groups in surrounding towns. So anything in my surrounding markets that I go ahead and work in, I always get into those groups because not every buyer is in the major cities. Some are just out here. Some are landlords. Some are, you know, these people, and they're in the groups. They're in the communities. So I get into those community Facebook groups, get in there. Obviously, I'm in the Kansas City Investors Realtors groups and all that. And then, yeah, I put it out there that I'm working as a wholesaler, and anybody wants to work with me, you know, here's my information. And then I just get them coming in. I get them coming in.
Do you make posts? Do you comment? Like how are you doing this?
Yeah, I do posts. I post a little stuff here and there. Always use a yellow. Now you can put like a yellow background.
Yeah.
On your post, you know what I'm talking about? So I do the same thing with a sticky note. I just put a yellow post background with a black lettering on it, and I post those in groups. And it works. Hey, I'm a wholesaler. And I never say I'm looking for buyers. I don't ever say, hey, I'm looking for buyers. Hey, I work these areas. If anybody wants to reach out to me, you know, give me a call. And that's it.
You put your phone number on there?
Yeah, and I put my phone number in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. And then you just post there. And then do people just DM you or reach out, I'm guessing?
Yep. DM me, text me. And they just get a hold of me. And they say, hey, I'm a buyer. You know, they send me their criteria. And that's it. And okay. And then I vet them, you know, once.
How do you vet them? What's your process?
So when I'm vetting, how many deals have you done within the last 2-3 months? And, you know, they'll tell me, hey, you know, I'm like, do you also wholesale? I ask them if they wholesale because a lot of cash buyers do wholesale deals.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You know, they do. And sometimes they say, yeah, we do, you know, we, you know, and so the more stuff I can get out of them, the more comfortable I can be with them. Yeah. Then I know they're kind of, okay, this isn't a wholesaler. You know, this is, you know, a buyer.
Is this over text or over phone? How are you vetting?
Yeah, I set up with every buyer I have. I have 15 core buyers. 15 core buyers who buy hundreds of properties a year.
Smart.
You know, and these are my core buyers. I have more than 15 buyers, but I have core. These guys I will shop to consistently because I know they go, you know. But yeah, I with each and every one of them, I set up a conversation. We have like a 30, 45 minute hour conversation on the phone, get to know each other, you know, virtual coffee, you know, and yeah. And that's it. We just set it up like that, and I get to talking to them, and then they always ask me, "What's your exit strategy? What's your exit strategy?" Well, you know, and then I go with them. They want to see what I know, so I want to see what they know. You know, we kind of give a back and forth, but most of the time, yeah, it's over one conversation. And the people who do send me text, I just kind of okay, yeah, and I bring them something, and we'll see what happens with them. You know,
beautiful. I like it, you know, because the more buyers you get, the more feedback you get on deals, and you kind of get smarter on what things are worth with the buyer. So really smart, because either you get lower offers or better buyers, and you're doing both, which is just jacking all your fees up, which is, I think, is a really important lesson. Everyone should know this. If you want to make more money, lowball more or get better buyers, you do both, you're going to even do better.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, everyone thinks if I just do even lower offers, I can double my assignment fees. But you got to remember this. If you can lower your offers and get better buyers, you won't double your assignment. You'll like quadruple them. It's insane if you know what you're doing. That's the difference between doing a $5,000 deal and a $20,000 deal. And that's what you're learning. And I think that's kind of the point of the podcast, just seeing your subtle growth on here. So it's amazing. If there's somebody who is, let's say, 8 months in, 9 months in, 10 months in, kind of like you, no wholesaling deal, they're feeling defeated. What is your advice for them to keep going? And what is your advice for new wholesalers starting out right now?
So I would say if anyone's 8, 9, 10 months in and you still haven't got your deal, you can't give up. You can't. There's no point. You have to get your deal.
Yeah.
Now it's a more of a pride thing than anything. You, if you give up now, get out of the business, get out, go back to McDonald's, get out. You're done. Because, I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen more than my fair share, and I've only been doing it 18 months or so, you know, 19 months, almost 2 years, you know. I've seen them come and go. I have, and it's crazy. So, I just keep going. It's right there. Dude, you're so close. If you're at 10-month mark and you got nothing, dude, you are right there. You don't even know it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and then, dude, the upward spiral is a real thing. Yep. It is a real thing. If you're starting out, I would say go hard. Go as hard and learn. Learn what you can that day, and then go apply it that same day. What works for you, you will find out what works for you fast. You will find that out. It's not a sprint. You guys are right. It's not a sprint. It's definitely a marathon.
Yeah,
it's definitely a marathon. It's you're going to have to jump some hurdles. You're going to have to do some stuff. You're going to have to keep going when it sucks, but you do it. You know, this is something you really want to do. This is something, and you'll find out if this is something you really want to do when you're at 8, 9, 10 months and you're banging your head against the wall, and then boom, then it happens. Then it just keeps happening, you know? I would be clear about what you want. Be definitely clear about what you want. You know, you can do it. It's easy. Now like it's crazy, but it is easy, man.
That's it. Yeah. Awesome. So guys, if you want to get inspired, talk to Hector, ask him questions, or just send him some wholesaling deals in the Kansas City area right there below. He's got the buyers. That's great. Hector, I can't wait to bring you on next year, see where your journey's gone from there. And just keep watching, rooting for you, and hopefully get some deals from this podcast and go from there. Hector, thank you so much for hopping on. Thank you guys for watching. I'll see you on the next episode.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.